Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. Welcome to church. We are so glad that you're here. Welcome to High Ridge Church. I'm Pastor Tim. This over here is my beautiful wife, Tina. She's amazing. Y'all give her a big hand for being how awesome and putting up with all my shenanigans. We also want to welcome in all those that are listening in online, our friends from all around the world. So High Ridge family, give them a big warm round of applause as they join us in from all over. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Matthew, specifically chapter 23, Matthew 23. We're moving from there to Romans chapter 12. So power on your Bible. Turn the pages over if you're a old school person like I am. I like to switch it up sometimes. I'm online. Sometimes I like to just get into the real thing, right? Matthew 23, Romans chapter 12. We're going to continue on with our series called The Best Me. Somebody say, The Best Me. So we're talking about all the things that we can do as followers of Christ to position ourselves to release the best in us that God has for us. There are choices and decisions that you can make that will unlock God's best for you. And the first thing that we talked about a few weeks ago was the fully surrendered life. Living all in, whatever God, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, I'm fully surrendered to you, to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. I'm following after you, full surrender. We move from there to week two when we talked about rejoicing through every challenge. You can position yourself for great things and God's blessing if you learn how to see the challenge as something beneficial, learning how to rejoice through each of it. Which brings us up to last week. We talked about truly authentic Tex-Mex and Mexican food. And the best me is an authentic me when I'm living unmasked, sincerely giving all that I have with all my heart to the Lord. Those are decisions that you can make to unlock God's best for you, which brings us up to this week. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. The best me is a serving me. Serving me. There are a few yeahs and a couple of amens, but most people are like, yeah, I don't like that. That's not for me. You see, I think we filter through this American version of Christianity that many of us have. We consider blessings or the best of us being successful. Blessing equals bank account. And I don't know if you've read this book, but I don't see that a lot. God's blessings mean things different or mean different things than what we think that they mean. He said his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. He means something different. So as we're getting into the Word of God, I want to draw your attention to Matthew 23, where Jesus speaks about what it's like to have the best version of you. And he says this, starting in verse 11, he says, the greatest or the best among you shall be your servant. Servant. Now in the Greek language, if we want to look at that word in its original form, the word literally means slave. And there is no other way that you can look at that word. It's a hot button issue. It's a topic that many of us are seeing all of our news and media sources, slavery. But slavery is biblical in this context when he's saying all of us are to be slaves. We're to be slaves to him and to one another. As a matter of fact, that's the best version of us. Nope, don't like that. I don't like it at all. But he says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those that exalt themselves, we just talked about the word exalt, which means to brag on me. For those that do that, he says, I'm going to have to humble you. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. God says, I'll brag on you if you humble yourself. So here's this completely backwards way that the kingdom of God functions. In opposition to man's way, man's way says, get all you can get as quick as you can. He who dies with the most toys wins. And God says, the way up is down. He turns it on its head. And here is Jesus in the last few hours of his life where he takes off his outer robe, he puts on a towel, he gets down, and he begins to serve his disciples. Now, they don't like this at all because they have this ideal that Jesus is supposed to be this great military conqueror that's going to overthrow Rome and lead a huge revolution. And that, hey, this is not a good public image, Jesus. Get up. What are you doing? You're acting like a slave. And he says, you don't understand what I'm trying to do, but you will later. I'm serving as an example to who I want you to be. You see, you want to lead this great revolution. And I'm not concerned with Rome. I'm concerned with the world. Have a slightly bigger perspective. And in order to do it, you're going to serve. And so Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, gets down, takes a basin of water, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. And of course, Peter, as Peter always does, sticks his foot in his mouth, completely misrepresents and misunderstands what Jesus is trying to do, and says, Jesus, hey, you're not washing my feet. You're the Son of God. You don't do this. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part in me. He's like, well, then, all right, pour it over my head then. Wash the whole thing. Here's Peter, bipolar, from one extreme to the other. Okay, then give me a shower, fine. Jesus says, okay, just why don't you close this and just watch. Watch me. And he begins to wash his disciples' feet. And think about this. Jesus even washed Judas's feet. So he serves even when it's not convenient to those that have ulterior motives. Those that are going to betray him, he still serves. He says, the greatest among you is going to be your servant. So the best version of me is a serving me. If I can make this decision, if I can make this determination in my own heart that I'm going to serve like Jesus served, it actually unlocks the best part of me. This is the kind of person that God lifts up. When I choose to lay my ego and my pride down and simply serve. I came across this quote, which was great. It says, if serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. And some of us need to go back and revisit that just a little bit. But Paul says this in Romans chapter 12. And I want to pick it up in verse 9. I wish we could read the entire chapter because this is really, really good. There's all kinds of wonderful things that he talks about in Romans chapter 12. But starting in verse 9, he says, love must be sincere. Somebody say sincere. Last week, we talked about the word sincere and how it means unmask. It means to take the mask off and to be honest and to be real, to be vulnerable, to be open. He says, love must be honest. And by the way, love serves. Love serves. And it serves with sincerity. So he says, love must be sincere. I want you to hate what is evil. I want you to cling to what is good. And he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Nope, don't like that. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So he's saying, honor one another above yourselves, become a slave, and do it with a smile on your face. That's dumb. I don't like that at all. No thanks. I'm supposed to smile with spiritual fervor and zeal. Yay, I get to be a slave. He's telling me to do something that there is no way that I can do that in my cocky American egotistical version of me. I have to have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to even be able to approach this and to do it with the right heart. He says, I want you to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then he goes on to say, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I don't like any of those things. But he says, share with God's people who are in need. That sounds like socialism. No thanks. Because this is America. And he finishes the thought by saying, practice hospitality, or I want you to get better and better and better about being hospitable to one another. So we focused on a couple of the words in the original language. I want to focus on two more this week, and that's the word be devoted. What does he mean when he says be devoted to something? Because when we think of devotion, we think of undying affection or something you might tell to your first boyfriend or first girlfriend, I'm totally devoted to you. You don't even know what that word means. In the original Greek language, the word devoted is the conjunction of two words. One is phileo and one is storge, and both of these words mean love. So he says, I want you to love with brotherly love. Phileo is where we get the word Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love. Yay, you passed your history class. You still remembered one thing. I remember that and covalent bonds. I don't know what each other has to do with each other, but it's two things I remember from high school. Covalent bonds. I distract even me. But he says, I want you to phileo storge. Both of those words mean love. Phileo being brotherly love, storge meaning that moment where a parent sees a child that's just been born for the first time. And there's a part of your heart that becomes unlocked that you never realized was locked. There's a part of you that opens up that only a first-time parent would understand. When you see your child for the first time that you get eyes on that baby and you think, whoa, something just happened inside of my heart. there's a natural God-given instinct in each person that when they see their own child for the first time, there's a special love that happens. And he said, that's storge. That's storge love. I want you to phileo love. And storge means, meaning I want you to love them like brothers and sisters. I want you to love them like spiritual mothers and fathers. I want you to love with brotherly love. Notice that he uses the word love three different ways in the same sentence. We know this from understanding the Bible, that every time that the word of God says something three different ways in succession, he's saying, I want you to do this to the uttermost, as much as is possible. It's complete. We know this from Revelations when it says that the angels are gathered around God and they are always saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He says it three times because God is the holiest. He's not just holy, not just holier. He is holiest. When it says worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, he's saying he's the worthiest of all lambs. So when he's saying, I want you to love, 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 he's saying, I want you to love to the fullest. Do you understand this? So this is something that I think we've lost because we have this idea, we have this filter of thinking that we're better than others, or because we've learned this or we understand this about God, that that makes us somehow more elite. And he's saying, no, I want you to humble yourselves and I want you to serve them. I want you to treat them like family. 3.5 years ago when I came to this church, I realized something was incredible about the foundation of this church. It has always been, at its core, a family of believers. As a matter of fact, if this is your first time here, you probably realize within about 10 minutes, somebody touched you. Someone probably hugged you. I want to apologize in advance, but that's just what we do. And I say we because you have infected me with your crazy hugging virus. I've never hugged more people in my life. I'm not that guy. But I found that I have a lot of spiritual moms here. I have brothers and sisters. And it's always been a part of this church. It will continue to be a part of this church. Why? Because we believe that in Romans chapter 12, Paul is saying this is how the church is supposed to look. The best you is a serving you. And when you're serving each other, you're supposed to serve them in the attitude of treating people like family. Family. Family doesn't throw people away when it's not convenient. Blood is thicker than water. We are treating each other like family because we honor God's word and we're trying to live up to what he's saying we're supposed to be. Can I get a better amen than that? I want you to love each other like family. So there are three choices that we can make to unlock God's best for us within the vein of serving. And I want to give you those ways that you can position yourself for God's best. I was thinking to myself about the very first time that I ever flew first class. And I had tried for years to get into the first class because I thought that would be awesome to just have that experience of flying first class. And those of you that have actually flown first class, we all hate you. But I remember I kept asking as I would go, we were flying like 3 or 4 times a week for a couple of years. And I was living on planes. I'm thinking, man, how do I get into first class? At least one time where they bump me up. That'd be great. And I kept asking, hey, is there any room in first class? Is there any way to get an upgrade? And they'd always tell me, no, sir. Or they'd say, hey, let me check. And then, yeah, no. I'm like, you didn't even touch the keyboard. But finally, I had a person, a fellow traveler, said, hey, do you know how they bump you up into first class? I said, well, how? He said, well, you got to have a couple of things. Number one, you're not dressed right. I'm like, really? He said, if you dress up, they'll consider you. And if you're a member of their frequent flyer program, they'll see that you're a continual customer and you're more likely to have an upgrade. So you need to sign up online and then come dressed for success. And then they won't turn you away. They'll at least put you on the list. I'm like, that is genius. So the next time I show up, I was like, hey, is there any room in first class? Any chance of getting an upgrade? She says, let me check. I'm like, sweet. I'm in, baby. I'm in. I actually got bumped up to first class one time, and I'm thinking, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth. It was about a 25-minute flight, but in 25 minutes, hey, my light stayed on. Like, no, hey, bring me something. God says I'm supposed to serve, but not today. Today I'm in first class. Today they serve me. Sir, would you like some orange juice? I would like 2 orange juices, please. I feel parched. What's the in-flight meal? Sir, we're only flying for 20 minutes. I'm hungry. Do you want the chicken or the chicken? I'll have the chicken. Just tastes better in first class. But I had positioned myself to be able to receive that. There are some things that you can do by your choices to receive God's best for you. And one of them is to serve. To serve. So the choices that we can make, if you're a note taker, write this down. I choose to put others' needs above my own. Others' needs above my own. Once again, this is not easy. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do it because we are arrogant. We are cocky. We're American, land of the free, home of the brave. Back-to-back World War champs, get some. It's hard for us to esteem others above ourselves. But yet this is what followers of Christ are supposed to look like. Why? Because I can fulfill my potential best when I help others fulfill theirs. So Jesus says this in John chapter 12. And in verse 26, he says, whoever serves me must follow me, and not just on Twitter. He says, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one that serves me. I love that he says, I'm not just asking you to be a slave. I'm telling you, if you are a servant, my Father will honor you. This is the best version of you when you start serving. You want to be close to me? You want to become like me? Serve. Follow my example. Jesus is the ultimate example of the servant king. Serve. I remember that I didn't understand this in any profound way until a buddy of mine had been badgering me for a long time to come with him to help feed the homeless in South Dallas. And I'm like, hey, I'm a senior pastor. I don't do that. And I was actually just a youth pastor at the time, but in my mind, I'm above that. He says, why don't we come and feed the homeless? No, that's for people that don't have their own church. And so I finally, after much badgering, I went with him, and I ended up doing this for a couple of years. We did this every Tuesday afternoon, and he had a group of people that would deliver groceries, and we would hand them out to people that were homeless and that were struggling and were addicted. And some of them did not smell good. Some of them wouldn't make eye contact with you. Some of them were dangerous and not mentally capable of even understanding what was happening and couldn't carry on a conversation. And I did not want to be there. And so I said, what do you want me to do? I'm here. Just give me some. What can I do? You know, I'll work at the back. I'll put the apples in the grocery bag. No. He said, I want you to go and talk to people and pray for them if they have any prayer needs. Nope. I don't like that. I don't want to have to actually interact with people. I'm not that guy. You don't understand. My spiritual gift is not touch. I'm more of a preacher. Why don't you get a microphone and get a worship band, and then I'll do that part. Like, no, that's not how it works here. And so I began to talk to people one by one. And in that moment, the Lord woke something up in my heart. I saw people as he sees people. And I remember walking from person to person saying, is there anything I can do for you? How can I serve you? How can I pray for you? What are you struggling with? And hearing the things that were coming out broke my heart. Real struggles, real pain, real issues, far beyond my nice little neat life. And I remember in that moment, I spoke to a lady that I'll never forget her face. She was probably in her 30s, but looked like she was in her 60s. She had a long and hard, hard life. And she couldn't have been more than 100 pounds soaking wet. She was thin, obviously had some addiction issues. But she says, can I talk to you for just a second? I said, sure. And we sit down. I said, how can I pray for you? She's like, pray for a job or pray for this or pray for that. I said, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? And I'll never forget what she said to me in that moment. She said, who? Who? I said, Jesus, the Son of God. She said, the what? Here we are in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. And there are still people, are you kidding me? There are still people on this planet that have no idea who Jesus is. And I said, he's the Son of God. She's like, what does that mean? And so I found myself explaining the role of Jesus to someone who had never heard who he was. And I said, he came as a gift from God to take away the sins of the world so we could have eternal life. They could pay for all the mistakes that you made. Would you like to ask him to come into your heart? And she said, who wouldn't want that? And I'm like, I must have told it wrong. Are you kidding me? Is it that easy? But she says, of course. And I'm thinking, yes. Did I tell it wrong? Are you serious? Led the lady to the Lord, began to develop a relationship with her over the next few weeks every time I was coming there to feed her, and watched her life change. And the Lord woke up something inside of my heart, that gift of evangelism that I didn't realize would define who I am. When I made the choice to put others' needs above my own, God unlocked a better version of me. And it's a version of me that really cares about his people when it's not convenient to care for them. Here's the second decision I have to make to position myself for God's best, and that is I choose to be a blessing to God's family. I choose to be a blessing to God's family. Why? Because God sees what's done in secret and he rewards openly. I found this to be true, that God's blessings come to those who choose to be a blessing to others. The way up is down. The way to be blessed is to be a blessing. This comes true from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. So it says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Like, God, would you please bless me? And God's asking, well, who have you blessed? God, will you give me this? Well, what have you given to them? I'm not talking about them, Lord, just me. Just me. I'm your favorite. I know you. Here's the third choice that we have to make to position ourselves for God's best, and that is I choose to use my gifts to glorify him. And this is where a lot of Christians have made the same mistake over and over for many years, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring glory to ourselves. Now, we did it in our naivete. We did it not knowing how big of a deal that this was to God. But in the 70s, 80s, and parts of the 90s, a lot of the charismatic and evangelical churches began to experience the renewal of the gifts. And in that moment, instead of using the gifts to bring glory to the gift giver, it became known as charismania. Let's go nuts with the gifts of God. And the pendulum swung way over to something that God never intended for it to be. And those churches that continue to put the emphasis on nothing but the gifts of the Holy Spirit and not the giver have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller because they become inverted and they forget to look at the lost. They forget to look at the heart of God for the world. Does this make sense? So when I choose to use the gifts that God has given me, to use them in the way that his word tells me to use them, which is to serve, then I can become the best version of me. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. To serve. So the gifts that God has given each and every person, you have gifts. You absolutely have gifts. You may not know what they are yet. You may know what they are and haven't been using them in a while, but your gifts are used not to bring glory to yourself, but to serve one another. As he says, good stewards of God's varied grace. So serving is how you leave your mark, because what you give to others, they will remember and God will reward. I love that being a part of this church, I get to be in the middle of so many amazing but anonymous things. So people have given great gifts to other people. I want to pay for this young girl's college, but I don't want anyone to know that our family did it. And I want to buy this person a car, but I don't want them to know that it was from us. And it's so awesome because it fulfills my need for gossip. Let me be honest, I'm taking the mask off, but also see the amazing things that are happening where people want no credit for. That's what family does. I found this to be true, that your talent and your potential can be used to either promote yourself or to serve others, but not both. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way. In God's kingdom, you can't be selfish and significant at the same time. I don't have a lot of time left, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is something I've been focusing on these past few weeks. And this is really, really important. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul lists some very, very critical things in the life of a believer that we don't hear taught from the pulpits very much. But he says, every Christian is going to stand before the Lord at the end of your life. And you're going to experience what's called two different judgments. And at one judgment, every single person on the face of the earth that's ever walked this earth will have to stand and give an account for whether or not they received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And hopefully everyone in this room has done that. If you've not done that, today is your day. We can get that taken care of. But then there's a second judgment that comes where God will judge every word that you've said and everything that you've done. And this is where he begins to divvy out the rewards. And he's saying, if it was done in my name, if it was done for my glory, that's precious stones to me. But everything else, he said, is wood and hay and stubble. And it's going to have to go through a fire process. And it's going to be burned up. And how many of us have lived our lives to bring glory to ourselves, using the gifts that God has given us for things that God never set to do, to bring glory to our own self, and God is saying, that is flammable. That's worthless to me. This is really, really important that you understand that you're going to give an account for God for how you served and what you used the gifts that he's given you to accomplish. How you serve matters to God. And Jesus served as an example to each of us to lay down our egos and to pick up a paintbrush, to hold a baby, to pull out a chair, to treat each other like family. As a matter of fact, in Galatians it says, do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're supposed to be known for how we serve. As a matter of fact, our love for one another is how Jesus says they would know that you're my disciples, by your love. So I want to share with you a video of a friend of mine who chose to serve God's family instead of promoting himself, and in the process discovered a better way. Check out this video.
My name is Hunter Harris. I'm 32 years old, born and raised in Big Sandy, Texas. I have three children, one boy and two girls. Growing up in East Texas, a lot of the normal stuff that kids do, hunting, fishing, my true love of sports. I love sports. I love playing football, love playing basketball, but above all else, baseball. Really was my true love, and was my identity growing up. I loved Little League, junior high school, and I ended up graduating from Gladewater, Texas, and was able to fulfill one of my childhood dreams, and went on to play baseball for the University of Texas. Stayed 4 years there. I had the hopes of playing professionally, but an arm injury kind of cut that short, and wasn't able to do that. Then 2009, I graduated college, met my wife, and we were married in 2011, moved back to Big Sandy, and that's where we started our family, and that's where I've lived ever since. I grew up a believer, and I prayed pretty regularly. Never really read the Bible, though. Never really had a relationship with Jesus. It wasn't a priority, and my priority was my sports and growing up, and then I got married, and then my priority was my family. We're raising our kids there in Big Sandy, and things are going well, and raising them growing up. Then in 2015, I bought a small business, with the, priority of, winning in life. And things start going, business doing good, but, things happen. The business started struggling. And in 2017, we started seeing losses. And, it got hard. It got really hard. And I started putting my focus on my finances and in the business, and I didn't put my family first. So in 2018, we shut the business down, and with my focus being so much on the finances and not on my family, I isolated myself. I separated myself from my family, started turning to alcohol and drinking, and I was in so much pain and just scared of not knowing what was going to happen that, that was what I used to mask it. And at the same time, it made me a bad father. I was a bad husband. I was a bad friend. I just wasn't a good person. Then it all came crashing down later that year. So in the same year, in 2018, I lost my business. Lost my marriage, and I lost my job that I had, and I'd hit rock bottom. I was lost. At this point, like I said, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn, and I was invited to church. A friend of mine invited me, and with my experiences with church growing up, I was like, it wasn't for me. I didn't feel I'd be welcome or wanted, and But he wouldn't give up on me. And finally, about a month later, in August 2018, he broke me down and said, "You're coming." And I said, "Okay." And even still that day, driving to church, I was nervous. You know, parked, and I'm walking in, and, you know, but I met a smiling face at the door. I could just tell something felt different. Walked in, and everybody's happy, and everybody's cheerful. Grabbed a cup of coffee, ushered to my seat, and worship had already started, and I could feel something was different. I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was different. And finished worship and sat down, and, you know, in PT's message that morning, I remembered him saying, "Are you all in?" You know, and that struck me. You know, are you all in? After the message, I raised my hand for salvation. I went up and prayed with Pastor Murray, and I knew something was different. I didn't know what it was. I knew something was different. Later on that week, I was at home. I had a couple of things come up, and finally got to the point where I was on my knees in my closet. "God, I'm not big enough for this. I can't do this alone. You know, I need you. I want to go all in." And that was the first step. And from then, I joined a group, you know, started to build my foundation around Christ. And I read a book called Becoming by Clint Gresham, ex-NFL player. And it was about identity and identity in Christ, and started to make my identity in Christ. I went to membership class, and in 2018, November, I was baptized. Now I start and end every day in prayer. I wake up in the morning and I give my fears and I give my failures to Him. I'm able to go out through my day and I'm able to focus outwardly on how I can help somebody else rather than on what I can do for myself. And doing that, I'm a better father. I'm a better friend. You know, I'm a better son. Now I'm serving on the Dream Team. I'm given the opportunity to help people, you know, feel the same hope and the same peace that I've felt. You know, now with my identity being in Christ and being in God, I'm playing for God's team now.
Appreciate you, Hunter. Appreciate the way that you serve, making this feel like family for a lot of people here. You're awesome. We appreciate you. I want to finish up today with a couple of questions. And I want to just invite you to be sincere in this moment. No one's going to take up your note sheet. This is for you. But I do think it's important that you're true to yourself. And the questions are simply this. Number one, am I willing to get my hands dirty? Is serving beneath me? I want to encourage you, if I've done my job this morning, that you've seen through multiple places in Scripture, that the Lord is asking you to lay down your pride and to serve. Serve. Here's the second question. What gifts do I have? This is an important one because you may not have any idea of the spiritual gifts that God has given you. One of the things that we're doing tonight at 5 o'clock just happens to be tonight is at our membership class. We're going to walk through your spiritual gifts test. We're going to show you. If you give me about 3 hours tonight, I'm going to show you the gifts that God has given you and then show you how you can use them in His kingdom. You need to figure out what on earth you're here for. Well, I'd be remiss as a pastor if we had a church that never showed you that. You need to know that because you're going to stand before God and give an account for that at the end of your life with what He gave you. Let me show you how to use that. Let me plug you into place. Let me get you serving. For others here, you know the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Maybe you've taken a break, or maybe it's been a long time since you've actually used your gifts to serve His people. I want to encourage you to get back up on the horse. You never graduate from serving. Serving never ends. We're always going to be servants of the Lord and of His people. Even you. And on the other end as well, it's never too late to start serving somewhere. Here's the last question I want to end with this today. What are the works of my life that I will present to the Lord at the end of it all? Once again, I need you to understand that this is not about earning your salvation. That's a free gift from God. You're not saved by your works. You are saved to your works. There are things that God prepared in advance for you to do. And I want to show you what those things are. If you give me some time tonight, let me show you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is critical in the life of every believer. You need to know that. They're going to be held accountable by the Lord for what you did and how you served. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from Him and He knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer. Your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.